How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You're listening to Day 12 of Preparation for Resurrection. Today's title is The God of Abraham. James Montgomery Boyce said, "No one can understand the Old Testament without understanding Abram, for in many ways the history of redemption begins with God's call to him." Our text today is Genesis 12, 1 through 4. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him." Interestingly, we begin the second full week of Lent on day 12 with God's call to Abraham in Genesis 12. James Montgomery Boyce explains the significance of Abraham to God's story. Although only 11 chapters of Genesis are devoted to the entire 2,000 or more years of the world's history preceding him, a period encompassing at least 19 earlier generations, 14 chapters are used to set forth the life of this one man. The history of Abraham and his immediate descendants fills the great middle portion of Genesis, chapters 12 through 36. Great sections of the New Testament explain the significance of Abram. To support the doctrine of justification by grace through faith, an entire chapter of Romans refers to God's dealing with Abraham. Two chapters of Galatians refer to Abram's life to prove that salvation is given apart from good works. One of the longest paragraphs in Hebrew 11 is devoted to the growth of faith in the life of this Hebrew patriarch. While Abraham was known as a man of faith, it is most likely that he didn't begin that way. Observe Joshua 24, 2 through 3. "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac.' Abraham came from a family of idol worshippers. That was Abraham's background from an early age. It was God who called Abraham out of his idolatrous past and made a covenant with him." Boyce also notes, "The striking feature of these opening words of God to Abraham, the first recorded time God had spoken to anyone since Noah, is the sevenfold repetition of the words, 'I will.' God says, 'I will show you a land. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you.' And finally, in verse 7, 'To your offspring I will give this land.'" The tone of this chapter is much different from that of Genesis 11. The beginning of chapter 11 is an open door into the mind of the secular city. It shows men and women functioning without God, setting about to make a name for themselves without God and his help. It is an account of what they have done and are planning to do. By contrast, Genesis 12 tells of God and God's plans. It tells us what he will do. Like Abraham, the only good in us comes from God's grace and calling over our lives. Left to our own will, we will choose the wrong path. Aren't you thankful for God's "I wills" that promise his blessings as the consequences of our obedience to his call? God called Abraham out of a family of idolaters and blessed his faith so incredibly that people identify God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This phrase appears throughout the Old and New Testaments, notably in Exodus 3:6, when God introduces himself to Moses, and in Matthew 22:32, when Jesus uses it to teach us that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. In addition, Jesus shares these words about heaven in Matthew 8:11. I tell you, many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The God of Abraham is our God. He can take you from wherever you are and establish an unbelievable relationship with him if you obey his call and follow his will. Consider these questions. What does Abraham's obedience to God teach us about faith and trust? How is God's promise to Abraham part of his overall plan to send his son to save us? How does God's promise to Abraham relate to his plan for all humanity? Thanks again for joining us. Have a blessed day.